The following is the audio version of a video released at peakprosperity.com. Visit peakprosperity.com to watch the video and to find other insightful content such as articles, discussion forums, and exclusive subscriber-only content.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Signal Hour, where we find the signal in the noise for you. And today we've got a huge, huge show for you. I am Chris Martinson, your host, and I'm here, of course, with Evie Martinson.
Hello. Good afternoon, everybody. Good to be here with you.
Inimitable Evie Martinson. Now, today we're going to be discussing a lot of big things, so let me get right to it. 8647, what the heck does that mean? Of course, some of you already know, but we got to go into that. Hey, what's in my arm, yo? And that's sort of a segment series. And then RFK Jr. went out and really exposed the rot here in a big, big way. And of course, Evie, this, we put this up last time, but the Signal Hour is really for those who want to know and can hear what's actually going on. And there's, it's clear that some people out there don't want to know, can't hear, aren't interested in it.
Just not ready, maybe.
So I am no longer interested in awakening the masses. That's been my job for a long time. I'm not doing that anymore. I'm shifting clearly now to just hanging out with people who are interested, who, you know, want to learn. It's all about learning.
I like that. I think that's a great thing. Hey, yeah. Can you pull the comments over so we can see them?
Sure. Just one second. Sure. It's right here. So, all right. Well, hello, Chris and New Zealand. Back. Good to see you back here again.
From Sweden.
Got Badger 22 there. I like that. Sweden.
A lot of regulars. I'm noticing some names that I'm seeing every week.
Awesome. I'm from Sweden. Not really, but my grandfather was. And so I have a big, big affinity for Sweden. You can see the square head. It's just, it's massive.
And
hats don't fit.
Instead of tan.
I do. I have cheap Swedish retinas, so I look angry in the sun. I call up my Swedish sunglasses. That's how it looks for me. All right. Evie, we're going to start here.
Sure.
8647. You didn't even know what that meant yesterday, right?
No, I didn't.
Like, what is that?
I mean, I remember the day of like pagers and where numbers meant things.
Yes.
143187. I didn't know.
So an 86 is a code phrase. It's a declaration that it could mean a lot of things, from things that are fairly benign, like you know, send this. We're 86 in a restaurant is like we're all out of something.
Oh, okay.
86, the steak special, right?
All right.
Or could have other meanings.
It looks like that. Military shorthand in the military, 86 can be used as shorthand for throw out or dispose of. Or in organized crime, some theories suggest that 86 may have originated in organized crime, referring to disposing of someone's body.
Okay. Now, this all becomes relevant here at this point in time because yesterday, James Comey, former director of the FBI, says, oh, cool shell formation on my beach walk. Like he's a 13-year-old. He's posting to Instagram. He's posing shells on a beach and then just sort of coyly saying, oh, look at this cool shell formation, which spells out 8647. So 47 obviously refers to Trump because he's the 47th president.
Dispose of the body of Trump.
Yeah, let's dispose of this guy. Let's get rid of him. Now, somebody else could just say, oh, that just means I'm partisan and I want to get rid of this president, which is kind of already awkward because as the former director of the FBI, he oversaw the Russiagate thing, which was a complete hoax.
Right. And the lawfare that was used.
All the lawfare. Yeah. So the FBI should not be partisan. And of course, now you see the lefties, the Democrats are like, we're scared you're going to make the FBI partisan. Which they did.
They already have.
They already had.
Yeah.
So this takes on new meaning because it's not just, this isn't a Redditor in his mom's basement, right?
Right.
Saying 8647.
In the country.
This is the FBI director, right? And so the FBI director should be aware of this, which we've talked about, is the importance of when you're in a figurative leadership role, head of media, president, former director of the FBI, you're aware of this idea of stochastic terrorism, right?
Which,
let's just remind everybody of this.
Yeah, it's an important topic. Stochastic terrorism is a form of political violence instigated by hostile public rhetoric directed at a group or an individual. Unlike incitement to terrorism, stochastic terrorism is accomplished with indirect, vague, or coded language, which grants the instigator plausible deniability, for any violence. A key element of stochastic terrorism is the use of media for propagation, where the person carrying out the violence may not have direct connection to any other users of violent rhetoric. So it does seem that that could be what's happening here, doesn't it?
Let's think. Indirect, coded language, using, say, Instagram to communicate. This is stochastic terrorism. This is what it looks like. Mm-hmm. This is totally, this isn't sort of like, he didn't know what it meant. That's completely implausible that the former director of the FBI would not know exactly what he was saying by 8647. It's impossible. Here's what Comey said immediately afterwards when he got called out in this.
Gosh, I didn't know that the... by the way, somebody said my mic is a little low, just so you know.
Okay.
Says, I posted earlier a picture of some shells I saw today on a beach walk, which I assumed were a political message. I didn't realize some folks associate those numbers with violence. It never occurred to me, but I oppose violence of any kind, so I took the post down.
Gosh, I didn't know that some folks associate those numbers with violence. I didn't know that.
But he assumed it was a political message, and yet he doesn't know what it means. How could he know that?
Let's unpack this a little. But first, let's listen in from, let's hear from one of my faves. Let's hear from Tulsi.
Tulsi Gabbard is the director of national intelligence. Are you buying that the former FBI director didn't know what 86 Trump meant?
Absolutely not, Jesse. That is a ridiculous and insane statement to make, certainly within this context. But
there you go.
Mm-hmm.
That's a ridiculous and insane. Absolutely not buying that. Ridiculous and insane statement to make, particularly in this context. This isn't just some guy, right? And there's plenty of just guys and gals. This is the former director.
Right. This isn't just anybody.
Right.
This is the guy that has had his hands on all the secret knowledge, all these levers that really he doesn't need to ask permission from anyone to use. That's scary.
Yeah.
Right there. That's actually kind of scary.
I'm struggling for an appropriate metaphor, but it'd be kind of like, imagine a CEO of a big company coming out and saying, dump our stock. I wasn't telling people to sell our stock. I didn't know people interpreted it that way.
It's ridiculous.
It's ridiculous.
Especially coming from a guy who's the former director of the FBI, a guy who spent most of his career prosecuting mobsters and gangsters, people who know and execute other humans and use this exact lingo of 86. Comey himself admitted in his follow-on message that he knew that this was a political statement. Well, the only reason he knew that, Jesse, was because a little over a month ago, a bunch of anti-Trump, anti-Elon Musk protesters were proliferating the use of this 8647 slogan, which was a veiled call to action to murder the sitting president of the United States. So for Comey to think that we, the American people, are so stupid as to think that he, as a former FBI director, former prosecutor, and someone who clearly pays attention to what's going on, would believe his lie that he didn't know what this actually was calling for. The dangerousness of this, Jesse, cannot be underestimated. When we have two assassination attempts on the president's life, when we have people who look to guys like Comey, who've been celebrated by MSNBC and the Democrat elite and CNN as the beacon of integrity, the law and order guy, the guy who would tell the truth no matter what the consequences, this is the guy who's issuing a hit on President Trump, the president that the American people voted for. So it's guys like Comey and others who call the president the modern day Nazi, people who are in great positions of influence, who are saying that President Trump poses an existential threat to our country. These are people who hate democracy and hate the American people because they cannot stand that the people overwhelmingly chose to elect Donald Trump and send him back to the White House. So they are seeking other means to get their way and to try to remove him from that position.
Mm-hmm. I like her more and more. I mean, that was just a 1.5 minute, like, perfect encrystallization, I think, of this whole thing.
I think so too. It really was.
But what are the key elements? These people hate America.
Mm-hmm.
They hate democracy. They like democracy when it gives them the results they want. So they're like petulant three-year-olds, right? Mm-hmm. They're totally fine with you as a parent as long as you're giving them candy in the candy aisle. Right. And the minute you say no, they just stomp. They just throw themselves to the ground and
they throw huge public tantrums.
Huge public tantrums.
And they actually break the law and convince themselves and rationalize that it's okay because somehow that balances things out because it's so wrong to them that this person could be in a position of power.
Yeah.
Yeah. Gross.
Yeah.
I'm disappointed in my fellow citizens still. It hasn't left me yet.
Well, and I'm going to connect something here. This isn't throwing us off, I hope, but this is an important comment right here from Viv B.
Oh, yeah. Last episode was hard to watch as I have family stuck in South Africa. Can't get Trump's refugee visa unless have required 1 million rand or $55,000. Wait, is that what it's saying?
Yeah, million rand is about 55,000 US.
Yeah, last 4 years, all the world's poor let in. Oh, I see.
Yep. And it connects because what's happening in South Africa is a communist takeover or collectivist.
Mm-hmm.
It's the totalitarians, right? And a lot of people of the blacks who come into South Africa have come in there lately because there's this promise of you get all this free stuff and we're going to take away all this land from these people without compensation and turn it over to the people who deserve it more. And of course, that's a recipe for disaster. Because every time communists have tried this before, it's resulted in starvation and mass deaths. Every single time.
Right, because the people taking it over don't know how to run the farms, don't know how to take care of the animals. We've seen that with some of this, right?
To be clear, those people showed up specifically because they wanted free shit.
Right.
Right? They weren't there because you have to wake up at 4 and milk the cows and you got to balance the books and figure out where you're going to sell the eggs and then buy more food. It's like a whole process, you know, none of that. That's the process, but it connects here because what we're seeing here is, and thanks for that comment, Viv B, really appreciate that. Sorry for what you're facing there.
Absolutely.
But it connects here because what we're looking at is that these people are the same. They're built out of the same whole cloth, right? These are people who want violence as a means of achieving a political end, which is the very actual definition of terrorism. I know the FBI broadened it and called parents who objected to PTA meetings terrorists. Totally wrong. Terrorism is trying to achieve a political end through violent means because you can't make the case like a normal human being using words and logic and a compelling argument. So, but I'm going to throw down here and just tell you that Comey trying to pretend like I didn't know what that meant.
His eyes say it all. I'll tell you what, his eyes are evil looking to me.
Yeah. Bullshit, right? But guess what? Finding political seashells on the beach is a little bit of a pattern for Comey.
Huh.
Look what he found in October of 2024. Somebody magically wrote a vote Harris.
It was Ariel, duh. She took one of her breastplates.
So, okay, that brings in a whole new dimension to what Comey's up to at the beach, what he's really thinking about. But, okay.
I mean,
come on. Is he a 14-year-old girl? What is happening here?
I don't know.
This is the clown show. This is pure clown show. We're supposed to believe that this guy just randomly walks up the beach and finds perfectly little positioned shells that exactly convey his political intent.
Mm. Yeah, that's sketchy.
It's totally sketchy.
I can't believe there was another one. I had no idea.
So Evie, you and I mean, just to put this in context, here's, as I often say, I don't know what the truth is, but I'm a connoisseur of bullshit. I can smell it. I know it instantly, right? So remember during the Trump shootings, which I dove deep into at the time, this one from the July 13th Trump shooting. So this is Chris Wray. Another director of the FBI. He's testifying before the House Judiciary Committee. This is when we're still trying to find some stuff out. And the public has not yet been treated to an actual close-up photo of the weapon that Thomas Crooks allegedly used. Okay. Mm-hmm. But the FBI's had it in his possession. And so what I would expect is if you're the FBI and somebody says, tell us about the weapon, you say, oh, well, this was a Panther Arms model, you know, XDXX serial number, caliber, you know, good condition, 8.3 pound trigger pull with a, you know, a red dot on it. He's asked about the gun. You know a little bit about guns, but he doesn't know the difference between a scope and a red dot.
Okay. He says that?
Yeah, listen up.
Did he have a scope?
Did he have a scope?
I believe so, but I just, as I sit here right now, I don't remember.
Okay.
Whoa. Hold up.
You have one job,
You have one job. This is an attempted assassination of a potential past and potential future U.S. president in an open public venue where one person is murdered and two more are violently injured and Trump is nearly has his head blown off. And he's sort of like, listen to that guy. This is when I knew that this whole thing was a corrupt investigation right here. So let's listen up one more time.
Did he have a scope?
I believe so, but I just, as I sit here right now, I don't remember.
Okay.
The head of the FBI doesn't know about the weapon used. There are really not that many moving parts in this story if you're going to the official story.
Right.
There's one shooter and one gun.
Right.
That's all the moving parts.
It's true. It wasn't like some complex situation happening.
Yeah, this wasn't like we're trying to reconstruct
multi-person.
The D-Day landing and we're trying to account for every bullet. You know, it wasn't like a big, wasn't that hard.
Could you go down on the comments? I'm just curious what other people think about this craziness.
Yeah. Oh, by the way, you're absolutely right.
We dodged a freight train from hell.
Yeah.
Amen.
Trump turned his head and the whole nation basically dodged a tank shell or a freight train from hell. But no, this is exactly the first moment where I realized, oh, this is not good. And by the way, it was just a day or two afterwards after this where we saw that the FBI guys on the roof hosing down the crime scene and they dismantled the entire stands in the Butler Fairgrounds. Remember?
That's
so we couldn't have stood
crazy.
At the exact spot and calculated back as questions. Where did that first shot come from? First three shots, right? If we had been able to have the stand in the stadiums there, we could have exactly drawn a line.
That's true.
They took it all down before anybody could do any of that.
Yeah, and they're like, what everything. Was their excuse? Was like, oh, we rented them. And it's like, yep. No, you're the
yeah.
You're oh, the they government. Were rent- they you were get rented. To decide.
They were rented and somebody was going to have to pay for another week's rental cost. Where would we find the money?
Meanwhile, Doge is finding all this crap and waste all over the place. Oh my God.
But now let's just be connoisseurs of body language. Look at him when he lies. Look at all the tells. Like if I turn the sound off, look
Did
at Chris Wright.
I believe so, but I just, as I sit here right now, I don't remember.
Okay.
Yeah, I just
blinking.
I just don't remember, and he's all twitchy and stuff like that. And twice, not once, Stevie, but twice, somebody said, "Hey, did you find eight, cases on the roof?" Because it was a question. Were all eight cases found on the roof?
Sure, sure.
Twice, not once, House and Senate, Chris Wray referred to them as cartridges. He said, "Yes, we found eight cartridges on the roof." Again, the idea that a head of the FBI doesn't know the difference between a spent case. And a cartridge. A cartridge, of course, having all four components, a bullet,
right.
Powder,
even
a
I
shell,
know that.
And a primer, right? Even you know that.
And I'm not an,
and that
an aficionado.
Me. These are these little moments. I'm like, what?
Yeah, that was definitely very strange.
Very sketchy. Now, by the way, this is really important. I've been using Grok like crazy. I love Grok. I've had two very sour moments come up for me in the past 2 days. So I hope they just tweaked an algorithm. They get it back on the reservation. But something went really wrong. And so we got to talk about this because I asked Grok, I said, hey, tell me about all the times that 8647 has been used. I asked it for any prior instances before this whole Comey thing. And it said here, first appearance date is May 15, 2025 via James Comey's Instagram post. That's it. And it says, in conclusion, it seems likely that 8647 first appeared in popular culture on May 15, 2025. I asked it to think deeper. I probed it again. I asked it about other things. It said, that's it. That's the only thing that Grok could suddenly find. And so right on Instagram, right on Twitter itself, in its, like, I just searched Twitter myself, typing it in, and this is what I found. And get this, Governor Gretchen Whitmer, she had an 8645 sign back in 2020.
Oh,
like they've been
crap.
Running this little scam for a while.
Oh, look at that right there in plain old sight, like hiding.
Aren't they clever?
They're so gross.
Little wink from the Matrix. You know, it's just it's just how they roll. Isn't that crazy?
When are we going to get angry about this? Is it time? When are we going to get angry about what these people are doing to our country and to our children and to our government?
Well, that's a good question. And hold that thought, because we got to get there. Okay. But carrying on, I looked around and said, oh, well, don't forget that we have Plant Flowers Bury Fascists, another 8647. This was at a Tim Walz rally that's held back in March, right?
Tim Walz?
Yeah, I remember he was dancing around with, you know, they were trying to resurrect him for a little while, and they put him on a few stages, and they said, oh man, this guy's a train wreck. So they ditched that, and then they went with...
I didn't hear about that.
Then they went with Bernie and AOC on their Ditch Billionaires tour. You know, they flew around in private jets and talked about oligarchs.
Talked about how climate change is a threat to democracy.
But the 86, I'm just... From the Grok thing, for it to sort of shrug its shoulders and say it looks new to me, is crazy, because it's very easy to find what's happening. How about this one?
All right. The New York Post just published an article last month detailing the prevalence of 8647 signs at anti-Trump or Elon rallies. Here's one right next to Keith Ellison.
Yeah.
But Comey had no idea what it means. He just chose four random numbers.
Look at that 8647. There it is, you know, flying the flag upside down. Wow. We are not okay. Right. So there's been that. But do you remember this? So I'm like Pepperidge Farms. You know, I remember.
I know you do.
So I remember this. This came out in last year.
Oh, yes. I remember this.
Alex
this
Soros, grandson of the infamous George Soros. He of the Open Societies Foundation and all that stuff.
He says last year, the crime and inflation crisis largely evaporated. So did the leading theories about what had caused them.
So this is some stupid article in The Atlantic, which we know is just ground central for bad ideas and grifty and NGO bullshit. Yeah. Right. But they're going with a bullet hole in $47. So cute. So cute. Nobody could figure out what you mean by that. A bullet and 47. Nobody will make that connection. You're so once again.
A wink.
They think
we're stupid.
But they put this stuff out.
I think we're stupid.
They put this stuff out in plain sight all the time, right?
Yeah.
It's like when they do the black eyes and when they do the little devil stuff and this kind of stuff right here. They think this is how they signal to each other. I'm sure it's like he goes to a party and they're like, oh, Alex, that was so... I love the way you pulled a fast one over those toothless Trump deplorables. They'll never figure out what you meant. We're so sly, right?
Wow.
I tell you, but
stranger than fiction. I'll tell you what.
I'm sensing a change in the winds, however.
All right. Because Secretary Kristi Noem said disgraced former FBI director James Comey just called for the assassination of POTUS Trump. DHS and Secret Service is investigating this threat and will respond appropriately.
Okay.
How do you like them apples there, buddy?
I just didn't know what they meant. And I couldn't tell the difference between a red dot and a scope. And we're not sure of anything, really, except don't worry. The FBI agent who found the terrorist passport on the streets of New York.
Right after a humongous explosion
totally
obliterated
not sus.
Everything.
That was completely legit. This is what we've been under for a long time, right? And
that's
so now
true.
We're in what's called the fourth turning in the Strauss and Howe methodology. So we're in this fourth turning. It's crisis is the moniker. And one of the key elements of the crisis is a severe and sustained loss of faith in the key institutions. And I can't believe how it's like societal whiplash for me, because 5 years ago, I would have said Harvard is probably the most esteemed institution in the world. And now I look at it as a giant liability, and I wouldn't dare hire somebody who had a Harvard pedigree. Because I would be worried that they would just be damaged goods and have a lot of crazy ideas that you'd have to unprogram very expensively.
Oh, absolutely. Nor would you send your children there or anybody else you cared about to get programmed into this kind of inability to think.
They still give remdesivir in hospitals because somebody will test positive for Omicron.
Really?
They'll still give remdesivir.
They're still killing people.
They're still killing people.
Over a silly virus that has...
For a couple of bucks or whatever it is.
Oh.
Right? We know the FBI is a completely corrupt organization, completely shot through, right? We know the CDC and FDA have not been working in our better interests.
That's right.
To date. But I do want to. We know. I want to go back to this. Remember this? This
yeah.
is one of my favorites. Let's just. It's time to review. What's in my arm? Yo.
Fauci took the pardon. Fauci could say, "I don't want the pardon. I don't think I did anything wrong." Mm-hmm. But he took the pardon.
I love this.
I don't blame anybody for taking a pardon.
I do, because now you're guilty. Because there are a lot of people that were on the January 6th committee that were offered a pardon, and they said no. They're like, "I did my job. I was supposed to investigate this. I did what I was supposed to do. I don't want the pardon."
If you're Fauci, you're not taking a pardon.
What's in my arm, yo?
What's in your arm, not mine?
That's what I'm saying. What's in my arm, yo? Why are you taking a pardon? What's in my arm, yo?
Okay.
What's in my arm?
I'm taking that pardon. I don't give a fuck.
If I put some shit in my arm, you're not allowed to get pardoned. You told me I need to put some shit in my arm. Now you can't go get pardoned. You gotta hold the weight of that decision. Mm-hmm. That's your job. What's in my arm, yo?
I mean,
what's about to come out?
You ain't wrong. Like, it looks suspect. It definitely looks crazy suspect.
Yeah. I think it's because they lied about knowing it was a man-made virus, knowing it came from China, whatever. They were lying about the origins of it. Mm-hmm. That's what my first thought. Could be the vaccine too, but I tend to think it's they covered up when they knew where it was from.
Yeah. You lie about one thing, you lie about the other. All of a sudden, you got to keep lying to keep up the lie. There's a lot of lies going around. What's in my arm, man? What is inside my arm?
But you good.
Laughs nervously. Exactly.
What's in my arm?
Chuckles in danger. Yeah. Right? I'm going to laugh about it just because it's a great way to sort of put it, but I'm really glad he stuck with the point. What's in my arm? And that needs to be resolved. And this is a big weak spot in the Trump administration, because Trump, for whatever reason, ego, narcissism, or pick your reason, is not yet been willing to look at the idea that the vaccine was a terrible idea.
Yeah.
Right? Oh,
I know. I wish he would talk about that, because it would actually separate him apart, and it would put the onus where I think it needs to be if he took his responsibility.
Well, I don't see what the issue is. You can say, listen, I'm a president and I have to rely on the people around me.
Right.
And they lied to me.
Mm-hmm.
Comprehensively.
Right.
There's no shame in that. It's like, okay, the shame is, I guess I believe people who are lying to me comprehensively, but it wasn't just one. It was Deborah Birx and Fauci and Collins and Walensky and all of them.
And all the doctors that get trotted out on the media. And yeah,
mm-hmm.
It was all of them.
But now we're finding out. There's a MAHA meeting that just happened, and Jeffrey Tucker put this out. I couldn't quite get the clip that I wanted for this show, but I'll get it up next time. But a current high-level FDA person said, I was pregnant and there was no way in hell I was taking that shot. Right?
Whoa.
So, and didn't, right? Because,
really?
Yeah, like, no, like, it's just not, and this woman's a very experienced doctor working nanoparticles, holding art. But here we are.
She said, no, thank you.
I think that Trump it's a weak spot, and it's going to really backfire on him if he doesn't circle around and understand what happened.
Mm.
He's going to really need to come to terms mm-hmm. with this. But what about the Trump shootings, yo? You know?
Yeah.
Remember this guy, Thomas Crooks? We still don't know anything about him. How many months is it? You know?
I know. No,
we know nothing about
to
this
his
guy.
Family. Supposedly they were aggregating data from cell phones and
yeah,
stuff
remember
like that.
Part? Look what JLM writes.
Oh,
right
yeah,
there.
Sorry.
Yeah.
JLM says Thomas Crooks, Trump assassin number one in Butler, Pennsylvania. Why haven't we heard anything about those overseas encrypted accounts? Why has all this gone silent? And goes on to say that Trump attempted assassin Thomas Matthew Crooks has three encrypted foreign communication accounts the FBI has been unable to crack. In spite of this, the FBI announced Crooks, quote, acted alone.
You can't have it both ways. Look, he had these encrypted accounts we couldn't get into, but he acted alone.
Yeah, you wouldn't know that if you
either you
get
hacked into
them.
Them or you cracked them and you found out he wasn't acting alone, or you can't say the second statement. You can't have both of those
yeah.
things. You can't say, well, we don't know.
I think that makes them guilty to high hell, and they need to, you know.
Well, no, and this whole thing was really stupid because, you know, I spent a lot of time investigating this. There's not a chance in the world that, A, they left that Pac-Man security defense perimeter exposed where that one roof that was too slopey with its 1 degree slope, where Thomas Crooks gets up, runs around on that roof for over 3 minutes with regular citizens pointing out and yelling, he's got a gun, and somehow nothing happens. Nobody even radios in like we have a problem over here. And they tried to pretend like the whole thing was just some big miscommunication, but the two sniper teams that the FBI Secret Service did put in place were just magically out of facing the wrong way or hidden behind trees, so they couldn't see, even though the most obvious place in the whole world to defend would have been that nine iron chip shot roof 140 yards from the stage. And somehow all of that just magically fell through, and we're supposed to believe that's what happened. That's the whole thing. So, but what about those Trump shootings? Where's this investigation?
Yeah, that's weird.
Where's some more data on this? We're just going to drop this and forget about this?
We should be angry about it.
Should be infuriated about this. Because it wasn't just one, it was two.
And remember that CNN photographer that just happened to be there that day?
The New York Times photographer.
Or was it? It was their New York Times?
Yeah, with their Sony A2 and their 8,000 frame per second magic bullet shot, whatever.
Yeah.
Just happened to be there. Just first time. And then how about this?
The second thing. Shall I read the whole thing? CBP say in their memo, the suspect is a U.S. citizen who traveled to Kiev, Ukraine for 3 months to help recruit soldiers from Afghanistan, Moldova, and Taiwan to fight in the Ukrainian war against Russia. Subject stated he does not get paid for his recruiting efforts and all his work for the Ukrainian government is strictly volunteer work. Subject stated that he obtains money from his wife to help fund his trips to Ukraine.
Oh yeah, there was this guy, and you know, he just flew to Ukraine. He didn't have a job really, but he would just, like, you know, he had this website offering to pay tens of thousands of dollars to mercenaries. So he's funneling money for mercenaries to fight against Russia, you know, as people do who have to take, you know, handouts from their wife. Unemployed dudes. That is just totally normal. Totally not an intelligence guy operative, totally not working. Yeah. Just flew under the radar. Obviously, nobody would be tracking anything like that. Like this obvious guy traveling around the world trying to hire mercenaries using websites.
That's crazy.
Totally not weird. And you know, Evie, I love my coincidences. Mm. This is his wife, Kathleen Schaefer. She says, to all those leaders impacted by the structural change at Victoria's Secret, I understand the emotions you're going through. It's hard being let go from the brand you love. I worked at Victoria's Secret 31 years. Told in February, right before my husband's going to go take a shot at the president, that my Hawaii district was being joined with California district. My job's eliminated. My husband soon after decided to join volunteer in Ukraine. I worked at Victoria's Secret 31 years and I'm let go. And next thing you know, my husband's taking a shot at the president.
Hmm.
Victoria's Secret. Yeah, look at
that.
What? This is from her LinkedIn account. Yeah, see this?
What am I looking at here?
She worked at Victoria's Secret. This is her work history. She starts as a store manager in 1991.
Wow.
Then works her way up to district manager, et cetera. All of that. Victoria's Secret, where have I heard that before? Oh, that's right. That's owned by Les Wexner, who happened to be the guy who gave Epstein power of attorney, millions and millions, tens of millions of dollars, and the most expensive townhouse in Manhattan. That Les Wexner, the founder of the mega group.
Ugh, this is gross.
How do you like your coincidences?
I don't know.
This woman just happens to work at Victoria's Secret, just happens to be let go. I mean, listen, these are the kinds of things that... It could be completely innocent. Sometimes coincidences happen, but man, the coincidences are just stacking up.
They are just stacking up. There are way too many to try and explain away.
I don't like coincidences. Absolutely. I like them explained. Like, explain this to me very quickly, right? By the way.
That's awesome.
Seriously. Literally anything else.
Uh-huh. It's unbelievable how difficult it seems to be to get anywhere with this
remember
stuff.
So we were gonna have the Epstein files on day one.
I know.
Everybody promised us that day one.
And the JFK files.
Yep.
And wasn't there another one?
MLK, RFK.
MLK.
We're gonna get all of it. We're gonna get all of it.
And 9/11 too.
No
promise about that.
No promise about that, but that I'm aware of. But remember, so it happened, like, they took in all these influencers, right? Got DC Drano there. You know, et cetera, you know, libs of TikTok, and they all get brought into the White House and they're given these big folios that happen to have material that you and I have had for 10 years, except they redacted some of it. And we have the unredacted version.
It was a little less than what we've seen.
Yep.
Yeah, it's ridiculous.
It's ridiculous. It's just ridiculous. So.
So are we mad yet? That's
I hope
my
so.
Question.
I hope so.
Are you angry yet?
Oh, can we go for more coincidences,
oh,
please?
Oh, man. All
Mike
right.
Benz.
Sure.
Always Mike Benz bring Duncan for the gold.
Thanks,
on this
Mike
stuff.
Benz. Falling asleep thinking about how James Comey's daughter is still at DOJ and the most corrupt DOJ section, SDNY, and has the secrets to the Epstein case.
So James Comey's daughter,
Maureen
somehow at the age
Ryan
of 31,
Comey.
Becomes like a lead prosecutor, works at the Southern District for New York, which is the most corrupt place anywhere, and ends up being one of the lead prosecutors, not just on the Epstein case, but also is on the Sean Diddy Combs case. Like Diddy was is a Los Angeles kind of person. Why is he being charged out of SDNY?
Yeah,
and why does the
sense.
Case magically end up on Maureen Comey's desk, whose dad is a partisan ultra fixer? This is what we're talking about.
Okay. We are in the swamp. We are swimming in the swampy
Absolutely.
Grossness of mud and guck and like leeches all over us. Like, that's what this is. This is swampy. These are swamp
the
creatures.
The only thing that will people like, well, Chris, you know, how would you feel better? We need the equivalent of what's called the Night of the Long Knives, where you wake up one morning and 450 arrests have been carried out because you can't pick these swamp creatures off one at a time because they're too slimy and slithery and they'll fight you the whole way. You have to hope that they're preparing airtight cases behind the scenes, right?
Yeah, you do.
But for now, we're still in the gulf of nobody's been arrested yet.
You're right.
Nobody of consequence. Retrospectively, prospectively, oh, there was a judge who tried to sort of hide somebody and
small fry.
Small fry.
Yeah.
Really small fry. No big fry.
No, not yet.
Not yet. So I don't know.
Yeah, I'm getting nervous that it's going to happen at all.
Well,
I want to hope that it might, but
I have to ask this question too.
We're also going to Fort Knox. I'm going to go with Elon. And would anybody like to join us? Because we want to see if the gold is still there. We want to see. Wouldn't that be terrible? We open up.
So, but that was another promise. Dude, where's my Fort Knox audit? It's like just been totally dropped. It would take a weekend.
Mm-hmm.
Like literally me and you could go down there with a clipboard and we could start figuring stuff out. It's not hard. Auditing gold is like, there's a bar, it has a number on it.
Right. You match it to a list of others.
Scan it, enter it into a database, type it in if you have to. Right.
Mm-hmm.
But honestly, just scan it in. I mean, it's totally doable.
Is it? I mean, I don't want to make any excuses for what Trump is up to right now, but do you think it could be that either he is really busy with so much on his plate that he says these things and means them when he says them, but just doesn't follow up and forgets? Or, you know, do you feel like there's something else more, I don't know, something else going on where once he's in a position of power, right? He doesn't want to talk about that stuff because he thinks it's going to reflect badly on him. Like if something's wrong with Fort Knox.
Well, let's.
You know, once he gets far enough away from what just happened, which was him being elected, now he doesn't really want to go there anymore.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know. I'm curious.
I don't know. But the way I look at it is I asked for an audit of Fort Knox and all I got was this stupid T-shirt where he sent out this very cryptic thing which said the golden rule of negotiating, he who has the gold makes the rules. I'm like, can we just audit Fort Knox?
Please.
Make sure we have the gold so we can make the
rules.
All right.
Seriously.
So we're going to turn to this now, Evie, which begins to answer, I think, part of your question. So RFK Jr., for a while, I felt he was muzzled.
Mm-hmm.
And now I feel like some of the muzzle is off. And so one of the things that's going to be most explosive is finding out the degree to which our pharma companies, in bed with our regulators, have delivered us. Well, we know already we have the worst health outcomes. We have the most diseased children in the world. And we have like the shortest life expectancy and all of that.
Yeah.
We're like, oh, 1 million people died of COVID. Well, not in Haiti or the Dominican Republic or India.
Mm-hmm.
Or Africa. Like, what happened?
Yeah.
Either 1 million people didn't die or we killed a lot of people that didn't need to die.
Mm-hmm.
It's probably a mix of both. That's the way I'm looking at it.
You're right.
Anyway, we got to expose this rot. Amazing sets of hearings here in front of the Senate and also the House. And so let's just listen to him. This is just, you can tell he is not taking prisoners anymore. He's all done with the bullshit, and I love that. So let's
I can't wait.
Listen up.
Anybody thinks that we did gold standard medicine in this country from these institutions, look at our children. They're the sickest children in the world. Lori, you say that Congressman DeLauro, you say that you've worked for 20 years on getting food dye out. Give me credit. I got it out in 100 days.
I'll give you that credit.
All right, so let's work together and do something that we all believe in, which is have healthy kids in our country, for God's sake.
Ms. Dean.
That together. It's not, there's no such thing as Republican children or Democratic children. There's just kids, and we should all be concerned with them.
Thank you, Mr. Secretary.
Ms. Dean. How do you...
So he's just fighting to convince Democrats that maybe we could agree on healthy kids.
Yeah.
Oh, he's fighting like tooth and nail, though. They're not having it. They're not interested because to them, partisanship is more important than healthy kids or something. And that is Congressman DeLauro, obviously, you know, dressing like a 17-year-old.
Yeah. What's happening with her? Is that just a picture of her?
But if you just look at the creepy dolls on her desk in her office, I'm like, I am not leaving my kids with this lady. Just a vibe. It's just a vibe. I'm not saying that's a correct vibe. Obviously, don't judge a book by its cover or do.
Your choice.
Okay. This is where it got positively comical for me. This senator wants to dunk on RFK. She thinks she's got a gotcha moment. Let's listen in.
A couple of questions. Do you think HHS should employ anyone who has endangered the health of children?
No.
That's easy.
You hired David Geyer to lead autism research at HHS, an individual who fraudulently posed as a doctor and gave dangerous medications and medical tests to children with autism. According to the state of Maryland's investigation, David Geyer, who has no medical license or training, gave hormone blocker injections to children with autism who were as young as 8 years old, which the Maryland Board of Medicine said poses a substantial risk of harm.
Oh, it sounds like hormone blockers pose a substantial risk of harm to children. You heard it here. She just dunked on herself and the whole trans movement. Like,
she has no idea.
Nope. Just so desperate to make a dunk. And by the way, this is a complicated case, and David Geyer, he's not leading autism research. He's being asked to look into some of the autism data. There's a lot of databases. It's a fairly complicated case. He and his dad thought that there were ways to start to undo the autism harm. Mm-hmm. And of course, when they started to have some limited success at that, the state medical board of Maryland came after them hard, like we saw with Mary Taylor Bowden about ivermectin. Like, anytime you find anything that sort of works.
Oh, yeah. You get fried.
You get fried. You absolutely get cooked. So she's trying to dunk. Oh, but the medical board of Maryland. But anyway, she just accidentally admitted that hormone blocking shots are harmful to kids.
Oopsie.
Which we already knew.
Yeah,
which
we
they
did.
Are.
Yeah, obviously, everybody knows that.
They're permanent and disfiguring and harmful and sterilizing and all that. So that's what got talked about, back and forth. And I've got more on the vaccine stuff coming up in just a minute. But there were two bombshells that Kennedy just dropped in there, and New York Times didn't want to talk about them, and the Washington Post, like, nobody's talking about this. And I'm like, these are the biggest bombshells ever. And I'm like, how is this not top of fold, 44 right. point font, 100 point font? How is right. this not, you know, Dewey wins in a landslide? That old famous wrong headline. But I mean, this is astonishing to me, Evie. So listen to this. The secretary of the HHS says,
we've also proposed a methodology for regulating and for determining which what is dangerous gain of function and what is legitimate scientific investigation, and how to bring the public into that debate, which I think, as you point out, is absolutely critical. That is where we messed up last time. And as you know, we have some of the Democrats here who are, you know, talking about the great science from NIH, but now we have a major agency, intelligence agency, the CIA, the FBI, the DOE, and the State Department have all agreed that NIH research almost certainly led to the pandemic, the COVID pandemic. So that's not the kind of the result that we should be allowing or enabling.
You think? NIH research almost certainly led to the pandemic.
Oopsie.
So all these people are like still wearing masks and on their 15th booster, and there's all this died suddenly stuff happening everywhere, mm-hmm. and our lives were disrupted,
and the turbo cancers,
and our small businesses were shut down. All of that disruption didn't happen by accident. It was because the NIH funded it. And he should be like, right now, everybody, Democrat senators should be standing up saying, put that shit to an end. Find everybody responsible. Yeah. Put them in prison. Nuremberg 2.0, 3.0, 6.0. Yeah,
whatever number you want to call it.
However far we have to go. Like, this should be absolutely infuriating. We caught with this is a lab-created virus. Right. Dr. Ralph Baric out of UNC was up mm-hmm. to his eyebrows in creating that whole thing.
Yep.
We funded it, not just to the 300,000 that Fauci mm-hmm. admitted to, but close to $100 million
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
that came through USAID,
mm-hmm.
the State Department, Department of Defense.
Y'all want to talk about reparations? Maybe the U.S. should be giving those to all the entire rest of the world for this crap.
Yeah.
This is really bad.
Yeah. I demand reparations because this was a highly expensive, stupid thing we shouldn't have done right there.
Yep.
NIH research almost certainly led to the pandemic. Boom.
Yep.
Done. We don't need to hear anything more from you. Let's talk about this for the rest of the session.
Like the guy on the left, he looks like he's about to poop his pants.
Yeah. So there was that. Okay. How about this bombshell?
You know approximately how many children over the last 4 years have gone missing or remain unaccounted for after being released by HHS?
Have you looked into that? The estimate, Congressman, from the Office of the Inspector General, and it's considered a very low estimate, is 291,000.
291,000 children missing. Like, we accidentally misplaced one or two.
That's terrible.
Because, you know, bureaucratic cracks.
What? And I don't.
So, again, as a BS detector kind of a guy,
mm-hmm.
first thing I can tell you is you don't accidentally create a program that loses track of 291,000 kids. That's intentional.
That is intentional.
That's like, I don't know if it was a scope or I don't know what it was, or a cartridge or a case. Like, that's BS. 8647, wow. I did not know what that meant. Oh, 291,000 kids. We're looking into it.
They just vanished.
Absolutely. 100% did not happen by accident. The people in charge, that was an active program.
Children missing.
291,000 children.
But the estimate, the actual numbers are probably much higher than that. They could go up to 500,000. And if you look at the grand jury report from Florida, what happened to many of those children is just horrific. They were being, my predecessor was deliberately employing a policy of speed over safety. So they waived all of the identification requirements for sponsors.
You don't waive all the idea. Oh, you know, we're just trying to, we're prioritizing speed over accuracy. Here's the thing. All these people who are involved in child predation, whether they decide that the weak spot is to go become a priest or to become a coach or to become a teacher, the predators find the weak spots right away. And they're very good at it and they're highly coordinated. So for his former predecessor, right, at HHS to say, oh, we're just going to waive all requirements for sponsors is absolutely 100% was a starting pistol that sent the big signal out to everybody who's a predator. Line on up. Here's this is the buffet mm-hmm. line right here.
No, that's exactly 100%. What it is. I don't know who did it in here. Saying that, oh, living outside the grid right there says Biden removed DNA testing and delivered kids into the hands of many MS-13 gang members. I bet that's absolutely true.
I bet it's absolutely true. And they sold them.
And known groomers.
And they sold
and
them
sex
to
traffickers.
Who? How many people who have bought children who are, you know, wealthy have ever been caught? That would be zero. The big fat. The big fat zero. Okay. That's anyway. So, again, this should have been top of the fold, unbelievable headline news, and they just couldn't. The New York Times ran with a piece, was like, we think he said one misstatement about vaccines mm-hmm. and here's our proof, which turned out to be wrong.
This is BS.
Sponsors were not required to show valid identification. They were never fingerprinted, so we didn't know if they had criminal records. There was no DNA testing, so their claims that they were taking a family member were
dubious at best.
Yeah, they were. And they were dubious. And we in Cleveland, one of the according to the grand jury testimony and the grand jury findings in Florida, there are so many episodes. One of them is a man in Cleveland who picked up a 16-year-old girl claiming to be her brother, raped her, impregnated her, put her in a home where she was being regularly raped of all men, and then went got a 16-year-old boy who disappeared and went back two other times for other children. This was happening again and again. One agency plays.
So this is evil. This is what we're really up against. I'm sorry. I know this is upsetting.
It's okay.
But it should be. This is what we were facing. It wasn't just like things were a little long. President Otto Penn, as Jeff Childers calls him, Biden, President Otto Penn. This wasn't accidental. Our borders weren't left open accidentally. The push to trans confuse our children was not accidental. There are billionaires behind these things. There are specific people, the Pritzker families, right? Mm-hmm. The George Soroses, the Bill Gates, all of these people who sort of cling on to that whole thing. The Jeff Zients in the White House, you know, saying, oh, you're going to face a pandemic of a winter of disease and death, all you unvaccinated people. Mm-hmm. All of the weaponization of the messaging against the unvaccinated, for instance, for not following the orders, mm-hmm. you know.
Mm-hmm. All the and othering.
The whole time, they're just doing, like, this is evil. It's evil. It's evil. It's evil.
It's demonic.
It's demonic. That's who these people are. I think we have to be clear about that.
592 children with 120 sponsors. 400 children were shipped to a town where there's a meatpacking plant in Kansas. 400 children who, you know, they had to come and claim that the sponsors had to claim that those children lived in that town. And we've seen the fake ID where you have one guy who is photoshopped in with a whole bunch of different children, and he's showing up and picking up at these kids one at a time. The Biden administration knew about it. They saw the same pictures we did, and they did nothing. There's 160,000 help complaints that were never investigated. I've launched now a criminal task force. We've opened up 500 criminal investigations. And all.
Listen to this guy spitting facts. I'm sorry, babe.
It's okay.
I know. But this is awful. This is what, when you were feeling like this is doesn't feel right, it's because we were sensing this.
Yeah.
Right. This is the moral, I can't even call it a failing, because a moral failing is you slip up.
You try, but you miss the mark.
This was an active program to traffic children for money and sex purposes, run by the prior administration. Right. I think we do have to talk about this guy at some point, which was this was Mayorkas. Absolutely 100% flying up and down Central South America, visiting waypoint camps. He was a prime architect of this whole thing. Absolutely. Just terrible.
It's just already broad.
But he's spitting the facts. Like, this is so refreshing to me. Like, you read like the real Anthony Fauci. It's just facts. Like any of his books, this guy is just loaded for bear. And by the way, he's a former trial lawyer. So it's just embarrassingly easy for him to just dismantle his so-called
the people who are against him. Guy for this job, for sure.
Yeah, I mean, you got to be tough as nails. This is the heart of darkness right here. This is bad.
80 to court. So we are going to try to find do everything we can. We're working with DHS to find these children, but the federal government under the Biden administration became the biggest facilitator or child abuse, probably in the history, certainly in the history of our country.
Well, thank you.
Biden administration, the federal government became the biggest facilitator for child abuse in the history of our country. How is that not the most explosive headline ever?
It's so nauseating.
Only because your media is completely complicit in it. They're part of it, and they are absolutely part of the demonic or yeah, evil. Are. I don't have words for this. I can't just say this is just humans who sometimes humans screw up. This was an organized program of evil.
We can't allow this to go on.
But this is important. This is why. So in part two of this, for subscribers today, I end up covering that like we have to wrap our heads around this. Why? Because this is who we're up against. And I know two things about these people. They never admit that they're wrong. But if it looks like they may have to face consequences for what they've done, they will do anything to avoid facing those consequences. False flags? Murder? There's nothing, there's literally nothing off the table for these people. They are so damaged that I hesitate to even call them humans. And that's why we're at the point of like a civil war right now, because that's what happens when you finally have two camps that are so opposed to each other that they can't see into each other's lives anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Right. I'm sure they're convinced that I'm just completely lost and morally adrift. Mm-hmm. I'm convinced they are.
Yeah.
Right. Because we just see the world completely differently. But to me, that's the most explosive statement right
there. Yeah. You, if you're talking about children and you're not, this doesn't enrage you, if hearing this doesn't bother you, there's something wrong.
Absolutely.
This is so disturbing. Yep. Picture yourself as one of those children if you don't have any of your own. But if you're a parent and you imagine that happening to your children,
mm-hmm.
and somebody on there was asking, like, how long do they live with all these abuses and horrible things happening? You know what? If they're going through that, you actually hope they die, because there are things worse than death. And being exploited by these evil people, I'm sure, was worse than death for so many of them. And I'm so sad that they had to go through that. And the people that perpetrated this are going to pay someday. I believe that when they meet their maker, whatever's after this life, like, they're going to have to face the music. But in the meantime, we can't let this go down. Like, because then we're complicit if we don't do anything about it and it happens again.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
It's just awful.
Well said. Listen, we're going to carry on in just a minute. I'm going to give Evie a minute to compose herself here. We're going to hear now from one of our top sponsors of this program. That would be me. Are you worried that something really big is about to break and you are unprepared? Hey, it's Dr. Chris Martinson here. What if I told you the collapse isn't decades away, but that it's already started? Cheap energy is drying up. Debt's a ticking bomb. Resources are growing thin. The mainstream's blind, but I'm not. I'm your information scout at Peak Prosperity, digging into the data, web, news, real stories, anecdotes, and showing you the dominoes falling right now. I've tracked this since the original crash course nearly 20 years ago, and I'm not here to scare you, but to wake you. The edge is closer than you think. Subscribe today. Get the truth. Get prepared before it's too late. And we're back. So this signal hour is going to run a little longer. So if you want to stick with us, that's great. Because the RFK stuff, it was so explosive. There was so much stuff there, Evie, we had to cover. I've got some more. But let's, if we can talk now, well, we got to talk about this. For some reason now, health has become a partisan issue, and this Democrats are just on the wrong side of this, and also some Republicans. So I don't mean to just cast dispersions one direction. There are certain Republicans, there are people who are into the caught in what I call the vaccine cult, and they just believe in them and they don't want anybody looking at them. You know, you can't question the orthodoxy because they have it's an article of faith, you know, that vaccines are always good, but are they? Well, they're not. And we know that now, but we knew that years ago as well. And so I just want to cover into this, Evie, very quickly. Mm-hmm. So this is astonishing. I thought as well, this was a pretty big moment where here we have Senator Marshall asking this.
What's the role of the Secretary of HHS as far as recommendations of vaccine, and just discuss it a little bit further?
Well, the vaccine recommendations, Senator, are normally made through ACIP, which is the Advisory Committee of Immunization Practices, which is an outside consulting committee at CDC. There's another committee called VRBPAC, which is within FDA, that actually recommends whether the vaccines get licensed or not. And so that's where the recommendations come from. And you know what? Traditionally, they have not done evidence-based medicine. They only adopted evidence-based medicine about 12 years ago. And what we've said during our administration mm-hmm. is we want to have safety studies prior to the licensure and recommendation of vaccines.
Whoa! We want to have safety studies prior to the licensure of these things that you inject into a small body that permanently alter the immune system of this organism for the rest of its life?
Nah, that's not a big deal.
Safety studies?
We don't need safety studies. We can just, we're going to trust them.
The pharma industry absolutely Estabrick on this whole thing, right? The idea that they're going to test vaccines the same as every and any other drug product out there.
Mm-hmm.
Anything like aspirin, you want to put aspirin on the market? We're going to have to do some safety tests. Of course. Of course, that's the whole point of the Food and Drug Administration was simply to conduct safety studies.
True. That's why the whole purpose.
There's no other purpose.
Well,
right?
I mean, they're kind of the mafia. They stand in for, take bribes and God knows what else to get, help people get drugs through, and they have conflicts of interest and everything else.
Right. Here comes our trial lawyer.
It's the only medical product that is exempt from pre-licensing safety testing. So the only vaccine that has been tested in a full-blown placebo trial against an inert placebo was the COVID vaccine.
And then they immediately destroyed the control group by
that's right.
unveiling it because it worked so well. And they put it into the arms of all the control groups as soon as possible.
Data?
That was a complete tell. At any rate, there was that. And by the way, for everybody listening, playing along at home, they did a placebo-controlled trial, saline, against the COVID during Operation Warp Speed. And what they found immediately was the same number of people died in both the control and the Pfizer group. And there was really no statistical difference in terms of who was actually getting a serious illness off of this. They did not test at all for transmissibility, right? And then finally, they started to record huge numbers of adverse events. So they immediately terminated a declared victory and put, active comparator into the arms of the placebo group.
I can't believe they were able to get away with that.
I've never seen
a study, especially something that was in the public eye like that, mm-hmm. that they were able to do that.
Yeah. All right. One more bit here.
The other 76 shots
about that?
That children in this country receive between birth and 18 years old, none of them have been safety tested in pre-licensing studies against a placebo, which means
none of them.
Ooh, I want to send this clip to a bunch of people.
None of them, but not individually, but also not in combination.
You can test each
one of them individually for a safety, but what about when you put 12 all at once into a baby?
Right.
And then we find out that's when you get sudden infant death.
Right, because even, when they're saying like, this child's going to get 3 vaccines or whatever, sometimes the nurses are talking about 3 different injections, but within each injection could be 3 different things, which you're giving your child then, 9 different antigens to have to deal with at once, which I think you're right. Like that's exactly how they needed to look at it, and they haven't thus far. So what did the pharmaceutical company, how did they respond?
Well, let's take a few comments.
Sure,
here.
Let's do that. Living Outside the Grid says placebo-based studies are needed. None of the jabs in the childhood schedule were tested against a placebo. Correct. Armed in AK asks, is the COVID vaccine still a requirement for children being born today? And I believe yes.
We're going to get to that in just a second. Mm-hmm. I'm so glad to ask that. And then finally, how about this one?
Sure. Informed consent to self determine one's involvement in medical experimentation. Hello? Didn't the U.S. put to death non-U.S. citizens on the belief that informed consent was not okay to violate? Yes, absolutely.
Yes.
Rocket Boy.
Informed consent. Absolutely, mm-hmm. absolutely critical and vital.
It's interesting on that note.
What's that?
Candace Owens just recently had a baby.
Mm-hmm.
Congratulations, Candace. And she ended up not staying. And this was Ian Carroll reported on this on her channel. And he said she didn't stay in the hospital for the full 48 hours or whatever. And she's
like, I'm feeling good. I'm out.
Yeah, I'm good. I gave birth naturally. Like I'm good. And it's also like, I think her fourth child. So mm-hmm. she's not, she's in her first rodeo. So she goes in there, does fine, leaves with her baby. And then they send somebody from DCF to her door following this. And they are there to do a well baby checkup to check on her because they were alarmed that she had left without. And of course, she decided against getting Hep B and a newborn and a vitamin K and all this other crap and the erythromycin goop in their eyes.
They're goons. They are absolute goons.
Can you believe it? But imagine getting your children. I mean, this has happened to people where they get taken away.
Well, we just heard the case from Massachusetts, right?
Yeah.
Where that family, they're like, you have to vaccinate your children, like peace out. And they left to another state and they reached all the way down to that other state and arrested the parents and put their children into foster kits so they can jab them up right away. It's really, really dark and gross. But of course, this is the same government with the same ethos that somehow lost track of 291,000 kids, minimally.
At least 291,000.
Known predators. Just well, we were set. We wanted speed.
We don't understand the risk profile for those products, and that's something that I intend to remedy.
Boom. Done. Okay. Good.
Oh, I love it.
Data. We'll have some data. Actual science. Not what these other people call science. By the way, the IMA has this program out called Smart Moms Ask, and moms should be asking these questions. And they put this out on May 13th, urging HHS, CDC, take a stand, stop the shots, the COVID shots for kids, right? Because the CDC has a recommendation out under Biden that if you're 6 months old, you should get a COVID shot, even though anybody under the age of 50 with no comorbidities has a zero risk from Omicron, which is COVID these days. I mean, essentially as close to zero as you can get without it actually being totally zero, right? So again, the idea that you give a treatment, a medical treatment that wears off because the shots don't last that long to a 6 month old who has almost a zero risk, you can't make that from a moral standpoint, a medical standpoint, an ethical standpoint. It just doesn't make sense. There's no way to actually rotate that Rubik's Cube and come up with a reasonable story. So they put this out on the 13th, but boom, look at this headline, trial balloon in the Wall Street Journal.
Yes. Oh, this is so good. HHS to stop recommending routine COVID shots for children, pregnant women.
Great.
CDC currently recommends that everyone 6 months and older receive the vaccines. This is great.
Yeah.
When did this come out? This was just a day or two ago. Yeah.
Yep. So that just came out yesterday.
Oh,
so, and again, this is just stopping recommending that. It's not pulling them from the market yet. But step one. So,
step one, yeah.
Okay, we have a first step.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Senator Murphy, Chris Murphy from Connecticut, has to be one of the dumbest people I know. And by the way, to this person saying, oh, gee, Chris, I love you, but please get off the bad communist rant. Economic systems have evolved. This is not an economic system we're talking about. It's a mindset. Communism is not a system of economics. It is a system of forced redistribution based on envy and resentment. You have something that I want, so I'm going to make a law that says, for ethical reasons, you have to give me what you have. That's communism. It's not an economic system. It has nothing to do with economics, except it ruins them. All right. So get this, though. Listen to the if you ever want to hear something really stupid, tune in to Chris Murphy. He's amazing.
Secretary, let me give you the full panoply of
accusations,
the things you said before this committee that didn't turn out to be true. You also promised Chairman Cassidy that the FDA would not change vaccine standards from, quote, historical norms.
The vaccine infrastructure. We need to preserve the vaccine infrastructure.
He's endangering that.
Right.
But what happened as soon as you were sworn in? You announced new standards for vaccine approvals that you proudly referred to in your own press release as a radical departure from current practice.
Which is?
Just about safety.
We're going to test them for safety. You promised you weren't going to...
If they're so great, they should do fine in those tests, right?
Exactly. If these people...
What are they worried about?
If Chris Murphy's like, I'm so positive about the... test them.
Yeah,
test them
ahead.
All you want. Go ahead.
Go ahead.
Go ahead.
I know what's in them.
Yeah.
They're
test,
totally fine.
Yeah, do 30 placebo controls. I don't care. They're going to work.
Yeah.
I'm that confident.
Or if they cared about the children they were putting them in, they'd be like, you know what? That's probably not a bad idea. Let's do that.
Oh, but he's very concerned that you're going to a radical departure from prior norms.
Experts say that departure will delay approvals. You also said specific to the.
Oh, no, it'll delay approvals.
Oh, no.
Oh, no. Experts say. I love it. Whenever they trot out experts now, that's when I immediately say, OK, this is bullshit.
Wait. So they're saying that they want more than 76 shots in 18 years.
Oh, this could delay.
Because approvals means that there's more coming. More shots.
Right. It does delay approval when you have to test to make sure that they're safe.
Exactly.
It should. Yes. That's the point. He's getting on to the program.
The measles vaccine, that you support the measles vaccine, but you have consistently been undermining the measles vaccine. You told the public that the vaccine wanes very quickly. You went on the Dr. Phil show and said that the measles vaccine was never fully tested for safety.
True.
You said there's fetal debris in the measles vaccine. And this morning...
All true.
This morning in
front
of...
Do you want me to lie to the public?
That's not... None of that is true.
Of course it's true.
Of course, it's true, Senator. Senator, begging your pardon, you do not know what you're talking about.
For the record.
Let's have a little bit of order so that you can get your question.
Madam Chair, I'm speaking. I didn't ask for a response yet.
I understand.
I'd like to lay out the predicate of my question before I'm interrupted by the witness. He should have some respect for this committee.
What a man child.
Oh, just God. This morning in front of the House of Representatives, you all
Senator, begging your pardon, and I will submit you do not know what you're talking about.
That you, in fact, would not recommend that kids get vaccinated for measles. You said you would just lay out the pros and cons. Okay, so this is the summation of everything that you have said to compromise people's faith in the measles vaccine in particular is contrary to what you said before this committee. You said you support the measles vaccine, but then you have laid out a set of...
No. He said very clearly, I support getting all the information out, right?
Yeah, he did.
He said, that's it. He said, I support getting all the information out. So he says, we should... He's like, why aren't you just telling people to get the vaccine, right? He's like, I'm just going to tell them what we know and what we don't know.
I'm not going to lie to the public.
The facts that are contested, and I will submit information for the record from experts who contest what you've said about the vaccine. And the result is...
Experts. He's calling on the... Good. He's going to submit evidence finally. From the experts. Oh, Paul Offit? That giant POS conflict of interest
totally
guy?
Totally compromised.
Dr. Marx, Peter Marx, the worst human since Dr. Mengele? That guy?
Mm-hmm.
You think
or
that guy?
Or... What is that?
Maybe Fauci? Collins?
That lady, the pediatrician lady that was always on. Asian lady.
Oh, no. Lena Wen?
Lena Wen.
I don't think she's a pediatrician.
No,
she's just a Chinese plant.
I thought she was.
To undermine faith in the vaccines. Kind of like saying, listen, I think you should...
Undermine faith in the vaccines. Now he's getting down to the substance of
the religion. Yeah.
How dare you question the Pope? How dare you?
Show some respect.
You promised us that you wouldn't talk about the fact that the Pope rides around in a $400 million plane while preaching about being kind to the poor. You promised us. Right?
Swim in that lake. But, you know, the lake is probably toxic and there's probably a ton of snakes and alligators in that lake. But I think you should swim in it. Nobody's going to swim in that lake if that's what you say. And so I want you to acknowledge that when you say you support the measles vaccine and then go out and repeatedly undermine the vaccine with information that is contested by public health experts, that is not supporting the vaccine.
As if there's a one true, like the public health experts, you mean the same ones who created the coronavirus? You mean the same ones who rammed the jab down our throats that did nothing? You mean the same ones who promised us that 6 feet apart was good or was it the mask part? Or should we believe them when they said that, we all needed to stay locked inside and locked down, that was the way to
like the ones
public
that
experts were wrong again. And we have the sickest kids and the shortest life expectancy. And that happened under this guy's watch. 100%. He's been in power the whole time. Our country's been swirling the drain and he's been leading to death and misery. And he's a giant piece of S. And that's who this guy is. And now he's upset that Kennedy is going to say things different from the experts he chooses to follow.
Yeah, that's true.
Anyway,
because I didn't mean to interrupt you. What I was trying to say was it was the same experts who changed the protocol of their testing of the COVID vaccine and ruined the control group. Like, he's
close and personal. You mean those experts, the medical experts who said, sorry, we're going to have to let grandma die all alone. We're going to have to let your wife, your husband die all alone because it's too dangerous to allow you to walk in.
Yeah. And you're not allowed to put yourself
those experts.
In those
dangers. These people are evil. I know it's the banality of evil. But this gentleman right here stands for evil. And that's what we're really up against in this country right now. And I think we just have to be honest about that. I really do.
Yeah. So I guess I have two simple questions for you.
Oh, there's a question eventually.
One is,
good. That's nice.
Can you clarify what you said in the House this morning? Are you or are you not recommending that families get their children vaccinated? Or are you just giving people the pros and cons? And do you understand that when you say these things about the measles vaccine, what ends up happening is less people get the vaccine?
So the Democrats are aware of this idea of stochastic terrorism, where somebody in power says something and
it has an effect.
Wow. And you have to be aware, cognizant of the totality of the effect of your statements.
Right.
So he's saying this is terrible that you might just say, here's some pros and cons. Here, you make your own decision. It's called informed consent. Mm-hmm. And by the way, healthcare decisions are always private decisions. I don't make my healthcare decision based on public health. That's a different concept.
That is a different concept.
Right. I'm not going to go out and take a shot because somebody says, well, this will on balance be good for the public. Right. If it's not individually true, it can't be publicly true. Mm-hmm. Right.
That's a good point.
So all medical decisions, 100% Nuremberg informed consent, 100% medical decisions are up to the person involved. Mm-hmm. My body, my choice. That's supposed to be this party too.
Yeah.
Right.
It used to be. I don't know what happened. They just let that part drop off of it. Doesn't apply to
here now
medicine
because COVID,
other things.
Yeah. Because something.
Maybe what you want, but do you understand that the result of constantly questioning.
Man, I bet I know what he's thinking. You could just.
Poor guy. Man, he gets raked over the coals.
I mean, I would love to put some thought bubbles around his head because
it'd be funny.
I believe
the
I know what he's thinking.
Your safety of the vaccine results in less people getting the vaccine. So I don't necessarily want to spend the remaining 20 seconds in an argument over this.
I've used up my whole time asking a statement. I've asked my entire statement at you the whole time. I've given you, how dare you cut me off? I am too important a person with very important things to say about what experts unnamed have told me.
Science, but do you at least understand that that's the consequence of what you're saying? And are you actually still recommending people get the vaccine or are you not?
Senator, if I advise you to swim in a lake that I knew there to be alligators in, wouldn't you want me to tell you there were alligators in it?
So are you recommending the measles vaccine or not?
What I've said and what I said. It
doesn't sound like you are.
Excuse me. Yeah. I believe you're interrupting him while he's trying to answer your statement question.
Are you going to let me answer?
Are you going to keep it? Are you or are you not?
Are you going to let me answer? What I pledged before this committee during my confirmation is that I would tell the truth, that I would have radical transparency. I'm going to tell the truth about everything we know and we don't know about vaccines.
Are you recommending the measles vaccine?
I am not going to just tell people everything is safe and effective if I know that there's issues. I need to respect people's intelligence.
I think you're answering the question. I think you're answering the question. That's really dangerous for the American public and for families.
Really dangerous. It's really dangerous. Really dangerous. Unbelievable. I just can't. Chris Murphy. Oh my God. What a tragic human being this guy is. So look, thank you. Whoever retweeted this morning, cause I forgot I put this tweet up, but this is from December of 2022. So long, many, many years ago, 3+ years. And the Midwestern doctor put out, look, we have this code R96.0 sudden death. All of a sudden people are dying suddenly right at the exact same time that we start injecting people with these experimental COVID vaccines. Mm-hmm. Make of that what you will, but suddenly in the statistics, lots of people suddenly start showing up dead. Mm-hmm. And also we had studies coming out. Here's a study that showed that if you had your vaccine from 1 to 30 days, you actually had a positive vaccine effectiveness. That's called VE. It was 55. So you had 55% protectedness, right? But after 31 to 60 days, it dropped to just 16%. And then by 90 days, it was down to 9%. But between 90 and 150 days, negative 76. Negative 76. You have negative vaccine efficacy. So it's not safe because you're dying suddenly. It wasn't just that it was ineffective. It was negatively effective.
That's awful.
Negative.
And
negative efficacy is exact opposite for all of those Chris Murphys out in the world. Senator Murphy, for you, this is the opposite of what you would want an actual vaccine to do.
That's right. And you wouldn't know that unless you studied it and you looked at people at varying lengths of time after you give it.
Yep.
And you look at that with placebo and you compare people's immune systems and you say, oh my God, it looks like their immune system is dysregulated. Could it be that it's from this vaccine we just gave?
Yep. And that was both Moderna and Pfizer, negative efficacy, right? And then I quoted that at the bottom. I said, only rational, scientific, morally defensible thing we can do here, ethical thing, is to stop the shots. Okay. Anything less is profiteering. It's politics. It's failure. It's assault and or homicide if you're a doctor, because you have access to this information. And this is what Kennedy is saying. He's saying, I want to give people this information. I want to give them this information. Oh, but don't you understand that that could lead to something called vaccine hesitancy? And then that'll be mass badness. It's these people don't understand science. They are dangerously ignorant. Mm-hmm. Ignorant. Okay.
Ignorant or misinformed or worse.
Well, now how about this? Isn't it kind of weird, Evie, that mm-hmm. children only began to be hospitalized in England after the jabs rolled out? Shouldn't they have been hospitalized when COVID was rampant?
You're right.
Why are they suddenly showing up in the hospital with what they called COVID?
Look at that.
Only after they had been mass vaccinated. That's kind of weird. That was a little weird. How weird that childhood long COVID only rose in England, in the UK, after the shots were rolled out. You can see here long COVID for over 12 months. Well, there weren't that many cases of kids having what they called long COVID at the time because it hadn't been 12 months since the vaccines had come out.
Mm-hmm.
Right. As soon as the vaccines came out, they suddenly started seeing huge explosions in the stuff they were calling long COVID. So for the most part, long COVID today, too, is really a vaccine injury. It's like they call it long COVID, but it's a vaccine injury. So wasn't it kind of weird that we were only seeing that show up after the shots were rolled out? How about this one? Does anybody remember the midazolam murders in the UK? This was one of my favorite things. The UK, oh, they had such a terrible run. All these people died of COVID. You will notice here in England, as mm-hmm. a sector, lots of people did die here in early 2020. And lots of people did die here in early 2021. This is the Delta piece, right? And then there mm-hmm. were little deaths along here. These are called Z-scores. Anytime you get a Z-score above this red line, it would have been an emergency to say there's something badly wrong in our system. So this mm-hmm. is an extraordinary explosion in deaths. And this is an extraordinary explosion. But we had similar explosions in deaths here.
Mm-hmm.
But not in Ireland, which is a subset of the UK. Not in Scotland. Not in Wales. Now, isn't that kind of weird, Evie, that we saw only deaths in England?
Yeah, that is weird.
But COVID didn't seem to kill people in other places in the UK.
What do we make of that?
That's because in England, they specifically killed their old people. They gave them morphine and midazolam. Right. This was a spate of deaths that, by the way, this is prima right here. That's a crime scene you're looking at right there. 100%. You can't say it was COVID. Oh, look at all these people who died of COVID in the UK when they only seem to die in one of four regions.
Mm. Yeah, you're right.
Automatically, we have to come up with another explanation and we can. And here's how we explain it. Isn't it weird that in the UK, suddenly these are this orange line right here is projected use of antibiotics by, you know, month. And guess what? Antibiotics are used during respiratory season.
Oh, right.
And then blue is the actual use. So every year they project how many antibiotics are going to need. And then there's the actual, sometimes flu seasons are worse, sometimes they're not as bad. Mm-hmm. And they come down here and the actual use just during the first COVID death wave, just in England, they stopped giving antibiotics during a respiratory virus phase. They stopped the antibiotics.
And guess what? People died. Pneumonia.
They died from the pneumonia. What a weird thing. Just this one time, we were like, oh, we can't quite imagine how would we treat a respiratory thing. Why would we give antibiotics for a respiratory? So we'd done it reliably every year since we'd had them. And then they picked right back up again. And guess what? There people are. This is murder. This is murder right here. And this red line is the gap between what they should have given and what they did give. There were two waves of murder here in 2020 and 2021, and it shows up right here when you see this wave of deaths here and here.
Yep.
They withheld antibiotics specifically to kill people in the UK nursing home system so that politicians could say, look at this great emergency we have. That's where we're going to have to lock you down.
And they put people on respirators,
which is a surefire path to death.
Which is bad. And they gave remdesivir, I'm pretty sure.
Yep.
Right.
And this was, to name names, Matt Hancock, MUK Ultra here saying, yep, Matt Hancock.
Shame on you.
Hancock. That's where all those extra doses of midazolam came through. But there it is. This to me, as soon as I saw this chart, I was like, that's a crime scene.
Yep.
Full stop. That's all it is. And the UK has just spent like £273 million investigating the COVID responses. And I'd just be like, done in one. Just give me one easel. I'll bring up one chart. Right here, I need you to start arresting people. Whoever was in charge right here.
Yeah, we need to start arresting people. If we don't, this is just going to happen again.
It will.
And absolutely. And you know that Fauci and Bill Gates, those two people, I've heard them actively talking about the next pandemic and how much worse it's going to be.
Right.
Right. So if they don't get arrested, consider that this will be happening again to you and your families, and you will have your lives destroyed again.
Yep.
Your jobs lost, your businesses gone under, and you'll be locked in your house with no food because of these people.
Yep. So this Z score here is there's a baseline, right? The normal range is this little bluish thing, which is kind of hard to see, I'm sure, on tiny screens, but it's this little tiny, but you should be in that, bouncing around in that normal range. Anything above the red, again, is a substantial increase. So there were some slight little, almost like bumped a little bit, like here in Scotland. It's not to say there were no COVID deaths, but it wasn't startlingly out of range,
right?
As soon as you poke above that red line, alarm bells are going off, right?
So those little peaks to the right of those two big ones, would that have been like other campaigns?
Yes.
To...
They're still killing people here.
Okay.
That's still happening. So 2020, 2021, those were the big years of murder in the UK. Mm-hmm. And that was part of it, right? And we see it here where they specifically withheld antibiotics during this peak and also this peak. Otherwise, they were kind of in normal range.
Right.
Now, that's the reason I'm bringing this back up again, is that anything above that red line is what we would call an excess death. You have an expected range of deaths, right? Mm-hmm. And it's a calculation, and it has to do with the age of your people and the season. And like, as you expect more deaths during respiratory failure season, right? You know, the sun goes down, people's vitamin D levels drop, viruses come, we're locked inside.
Yep. We're not moving around and exercising not moving around, as much.
So you get more, more respiratory deaths. Pneumonias, right?
Right.
So the big killers of old people is pneumonia is the number one.
Oh, I know.
Right. And then we would call it something else, but pneumonia is usually you die because you stop breathing or your heart stops. Those are the actual causes of death.
Correct.
Right.
And pneumonias happen to people when they're in the hospital for something else often. Like if you're in the hospital for a back surgery and you don't move around enough. Like I remember when I was in the hospital for my back surgeries, I had to use this thing that I had to blow in all the time. Because they worry that your lungs are going to start filling with fluid if
they
you're laid out on a bed for a long time. So it's just,
But if your lungs had started filling with fluid and they detected something, you would have hoped they would have given you antibiotics, because that's frontline standard of care treatment for somebody who has a respiratory issue, because it's a wet, warm environment with access to the outdoors.
Right.
Where bacteria are being filtered in all day long.
It's nice and dark too.
And if they get a sweet spot to hang out, they will start growing, and that's what antibiotics are good at stopping. So anyway, I wanted to go through that excess death thing because this is a global crime scene, right? So here we see here in Australia, the blue thing down here would be the sort of range you would expect to be in. And then all of a sudden they start their vaccine campaign, and all of a sudden excess deaths are way above benchline marks, way above.
When and they it's, stay there.
And it's weird how heavily vaccinated Australia saw these massive increases in excess deaths above expected only after the jab rollout.
Right. Right. Because the jab had been there arguably for almost, 2 years, right? Going on 2 years.
So a 17% higher than historical average, 16,375, every one of those, a tragedy. A lot of these expected deaths, when you age adjust them, are super tragic, because these aren't more than expected 80 plus year olds dying.
Right.
This is all the way across all age ranges.
Right.
And this is the context by which Senator Murphy, he should move to Portland. He would like Portland.
He belongs there. Get out of the government, buddy.
This would be the kind of stuff where you would say, if you were not a completely demonic, morally adrift human being, you would say, wow, that's a lot of excess deaths. We should get to the bottom of this. What is happening? Whatever we started doing right around there in 2021, let's not do that anymore. Whatever that was.
Mm-hmm.
That would be the only appropriate response. How about in Germany? Highest mortality ever, 40% above expected. Just terrible.
What?
Right?
Wow.
And they too went through a couple of these waves, right?
Wow.
Same thing. It's just weird.
That's
how
2023? Holy crap.
And here it is, excess deaths per 100,000 population. So this is horrifying. 500 excess deaths per 100,000, again, is a very, very large number. And here you can sort of see it arranged. Sweden clocking in at the best Costa Rica kicking the butt of, say, the Czech Republic or whatever.
Okay.
But everyone, so first thing we should notice is not one of these countries had a negative excess death. Like, oh, yeah, we did better than we expected to.
Right.
Everybody did a lot worse than expected. And
but that was 20 to 2019. Go back. That was
that's compared. So you compare them to, you have to compare to what? So for the 5 years prior to COVID, now they're comparing the post-COVID.
Oh, that's what this is. Yep. Okay.
They're comparing to before and after, right?
Okay, got it.
So you have to, that's what you expected deaths is based on some prior period. Okay, I thought
maybe it was an older dated thing, but not.
And Dr. John Campbell, when you look it up, I mean, these are horrifying numbers. These normally you would not see numbers like this outside of a world war or a major, major calamity, right? And if COVID itself had caused numbers like this, it would truly be terrifying.
Mm-hmm.
But it wasn't COVID. And at a minimum, the easiest thing we can say is that your vaccine didn't work. It somehow didn't prevent this from happening.
Wow.
At a minimum, it didn't work.
I bet they're very happy with those numbers, to be honest.
I think so,
too. That was a good round one for them.
Yeah.
They're glad. Look at all the people they got. They got your grandma and your aunt and, God forbid, your child or your husband or wife.
Yeah.
Your brothers and sisters. They just got rid of people.
Well, so this is what RFK is. I'm glad that, you know, there's things I like about what's happening under the Trump administration. Some I'm like, dude, where's my arrest? But leaving that aside, what Kennedy is doing is absolutely necessary, appropriate, and right, which is we're finally going to have an adult sized conversation around this. The mystery to me is why so many Democrats are dead set against finding out anything about this. They claim to be the party of science, but they don't want any science. They claim to be the party of compassion, but they're a little bit of a blind eye or two to harmed children. And, you know, they say, oh, but, you know, Kennedy cut money to cancer research. And Kennedy said, I didn't play that clip. He's like, I don't want to spend money on figuring out how to treat cancer better. I want to know why we have an epidemic of colorectal cancer in young people these days. I'd rather not have the cancer than spend money trying to figure out how to treat the cancer, because that's been the whole paradigm. Make people sick and then make money off of the problems that you've caused. That's why doctors' offices have bonus
structures,
headhunting bonus structures for vaccinating children, because those are loss leaders for the industry.
The pharma companies.
Pharma companies. Now, yeah. I go into that a lot in part two. For subscribers back at Peak Prosperity again, come on back and I talk about this. We talk about the collectivists, and also I talk about how there's no soft landing coming for our economy. I got all the data around that. So with that, thank you everybody for being here with us. We ran long. And
I've got something to read before we say our goodbyes.
And I know that. So I just wanted to say thank you for being here while we ran long. Evie, land this plane, would you?
All right. And thank you, everybody, because then you can just wrap it up all nice and neat. Thanks for being here and spending your afternoon with us. It's always a pleasure, and we know you have busy lives, too. And we appreciate that you took the time out of yours to spend this time with us. And we would love to see you over at Peak Prosperity, too, to have deeper, longer conversations with other like-minded people. The poem I want to read today, I just like how poetry kind of slows things down sometimes, and it distills thoughts into a form that is relatable usually to other human experience, and people that have written things hundreds and thousands of years ago, it still makes sense today because the thoughts were so poignant and well formed. And so that's often why I read something at the end of our sessions together, because I really want to sort of bring my own mind back to a place of being anchored in what really matters and what is important for me to think about. And where my courage to continue on comes from. And I remember finding this when I was a teenager, and it really touched me. And most of you will know it. I'll let you guess who it is. And I'll also say the name at the end. And the name. Two roads diverged in a yellow wood, and sorry I could not travel both. And be one traveler long I stood, and looked down one as far as I could to where it bent in the undergrowth. Then took the other as just as fair and having perhaps the better claim because it was grassy and wanted wear, though as for the passing there had warned them, really about the same. And both that morning equally lay in leaves no step had trodden black. Oh, I kept the first for another day, yet knowing how way leads on to way, I doubted if I should ever come back. I shall be telling this with a sigh, somewhere ages and ages hence. Two roads diverged in a wood, and I took the one less traveled by, and that has made all the difference.
Thank you for that, and thank you everybody for being here. And we'll be back next week, Wednesday at 1 o'clock with the Signal Hour. Until then,
have a great weekend.
I guess we're just going to say what we always say at this time. Adios, amigos.
Thanks, all right. Guys.
Thanks.